Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Javier Marín, Chief IR and ESG Officer at MásMóvil. Thank you, everybody, for attending our full year 2023 earnings conference call. We have our CEO, Meinrad Spenger, which will be taking over. But before, just let me remind you that to put your question on the queue, you should press star five. So without further delay, Meini, all yours.
Thank you, Javier. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us to our result presentation, which is expected to be the last one on a standalone basis. Why? Because we are advancing in our deal with Orange to create a JV in the Spanish market. We have received all necessary authorizations from the European Commission and from the Spanish government, and in consequence, we are expected to close our deal by the end of first quarter. We have also good news. Our corporate family ratings have been upgraded by two notches by both Fitch as well as Moody's. Our growth continues, not only in clients but also in revenues. We are growing our telco service revenues this year by 6%. Total revenues is up by 3%. Difference is mainly explained by energy. Energy revenues have not been growing, basically because cost or prices of energy have been going down in the market. In EBITDA, our pre-IFRS EBITDA is increasing by 3%. Our stable, our adjusted EBITDA is stable in around 1.2 billion at a very solid margin of 40%. If you look at our services, number of services, we are also up. We have more than 3.4 million broadband lines and almost 16 million total services between mobile and broadband. Also in the last quarter, we have been growing both in fixed and in mobile, in total, in more than 130,000 services. Our debt, net debt is slightly up in around 6.5 billion, which means 4.5x senior secured and 5.4x total debt. If you look, we have to consider in this regard that in 2023, we have some one-off payments related to M&A, NetCos, or penalties due to our former transaction with Euskaltel. If you look at the next page, we see the summary of the results of our rating processes. We have been achieving with Moody's a corporate family rating of Ba3 with positive outlook, and in Fitch as well, BB with positive outlook. Standard & Poor's is still pending to be published. We have done the analysis, but we are waiting for its publications. If you look at our financial instruments, we have achieved the senior secured in regards to senior secured, we have achieved a BB+ rating with Fitch. So overall, we can say we have consolidated ourselves in the BB category in family rating and even a higher ranking or rating in our financial instruments. In conclusion, basically, we are two notches up versus the old rating of MásMóvil. If we look on the next page, we see a simplified on page three, we see a simplified structure of the JV with Orange that is foreseen, as I mentioned before, to be closed by the end of this month. We see that we will do a 50/50 joint venture with the holding Quilispain Co. project, which will be renamed after closing or at closing. We see that the existing debt of MásMóvil and the new joint venture debt will consolidate, meaning it will be backed, fully backed by the joint venture. And the new rating that we just explained will apply to the full debt. It's important to say that from the new joint venture debt, only 1.3 billion euros is left to be placed, and we expect syndication just after closing. Very important for us, also on the next page, our efforts in ESG. So we have evolved to be a leading operator in ESG, and basically our ratings, ESG rating, clearly demonstrate that. So we have multiple ESG rating done in 2023, Clarity, Fitch, Sustainalytics, S&P, all have improved, and we are basically leading in Spain or even in Europe. Azmobile is only the only B Corp company within European telecoms, and we are the biggest B Corp company in the Spanish market. We also quantify our initiatives in ESG, so we have done, we've applied a very strict methodology developed by Harvard University to calculate a total positive impact of over 7 billion euros in 2023, or said in other words, it's around 2.6 times our service revenues. And if you go to revenues on the next page, we see a growth of 6% in telco service revenues and 3% in total revenues. As mentioned before, the difference is mainly due to the lowering of the energy costs and prices in the market. This is a service where we are growing in customers, but there was a high volatility in market prices around energy. If we go, if you look at our client numbers or service numbers, we are reaching almost 16 million services by the end of 2023. And we see also an incremental growth in Q4. We are growing by more than 130,000 services between broadband and mobile postpaid. In EBITDA, if you look at our bottom line, there is a relevant growth in EBITDA pre-RFS of 3%. If you look at adjusted EBITDA, it's flat basically because of two effects. One is an accounting effect, the IFRS 15. We are impacted, it's not the cash impact, but we are impacted because of the high growth that we have experienced in the last few years. And then we are phasing out a business activity, which we did in the past. That is basically we optimize our fiber network costs by selective deployment and selective greenfield divestment. And since we are, deploying less fiber, it's a natural phase out of this business. If we eliminate those two effects, which is both effects around 50%, we would grow also an adjusted EBITDA underlying by around 12%. If you look at CapEx, I mean, there's no surprises. The only surprise is that we are somewhat lower in total CapEx as expected. It's a positive surprise. We have around 12% over total reported revenues as recurrent CapEx, in line with our expectations. And we have some cash from disposals, mainly from router refurbishment, so CPE, fiber boxes refurbishment. So total net CapEx in 2023 was 437 million euros. If you look at our cash generation profile, on the next page, we see also this improvement in pre-RFS minus CapEx. We see the same 12%, which I mentioned before, as underlying adjusted EBITDA growth. And in EBITDAL minus CapEx is 3% growth, which had some impact of IFRS 15. But you see that we improved significantly our cash generation profile. And that in a context of relatively high inflation still in Spain. So if we look at our cash flow of operation on the next page, we have a positive adjusted cash flow from operations, and that despite of increased and peaking interest costs. So we think that the interest costs in 2023 the highest that we will experience throughout the next years for the existing debt of MásMóvil, obviously. And then we see an operating cash flow of 767 million euros, which is in line with the one of last year. And basically, deferred capex, what we see, the last payments to Orange regarding our Pomelo fiber agreement. So just before closing, we did our last payments. So we comply in MásMóvil with our contracts and our payment obligations. In terms of net working capital adjustment, the biggest position is also an IFRS 15 position of almost 100 million euros. If we look to the evolution of our net debt on next page, we see this slight increase from 6.3 to 6.5 billion euros. Basically, the difference are one-offs, the 200 million related to our NetCo investment. So we have minority participation in NetCos, fiber NetCos. And regards to penalties, as a result of our, latest acquisition of Euskaltel around 2.5 years ago, plus some integration costs of Euskaltel. And the result in debt is what I mentioned at the beginning. We have on the final page, we see the leverage, 5.4 times total debt and 4.5 times senior secured debt. Okay, this is for this moment the information from my side, but we are happy to respond to your questions.
Thank you, Manny. So we open now the call for Q&A. I remind you that you need to press star 5 to put your question on the queue. We do have the first question coming from Mathieu Rescaniers. Mathieu, please, you can go ahead.
Hi there, thanks for taking my question. I hope you can hear me. Just wanted to ask, can you re-explain a little bit the underlying EBITDA growth of 12% in the quarter and maybe provide a bit more color about what was this underlying EBITDA growth in the fourth quarter? So 12% for the year, and what was it for the fourth quarter? That's my first question.
Yes, 12% is the underlying growth in the full year. So basically, if we take out the pure accounting effects of IFRS 15 plus the phasing out of the greenfield, of the sale of greenfield fiber homes, then you get to the 12% growth, and this is the full year. Javier, do you want to add something on the last quarter? But basically, last quarter was flat, and it was heavily impacted by the business phase out.
Business phase out of fiber.
As I mentioned, we have optimized our fiber network costs using, third party networks to own network deployments, and then we have sold some greenfield businesses, which helped us to improve, the monthly cost of the bitstream, so the service. Plus, we have the margin on the deployment, and obviously with getting almost 100% fiber coverage in Spain, this business we are phasing out.
Okay, thanks. And then can you provide a little bit more color on competition? What did you see in the fourth quarter? What do you see currently? And how do you consider putting through price increase, or do you think the market is turning into more competitive now that we've seen a lot of changes recently?
Well, I believe that Spain is the most competitive telecom market in Europe, and that's not only me. That's also a lot of other managers in the sector, including the global CEO of Orange, mentioned that, explaining why they are planning to de-invest in Spain. So we have a lot of brands, a lot of low-cost offering also in the Spanish market, including second and third brands of the traditional operators are very price aggressive. For instance, if you look at Telefonica currently, they're operating, competing at 30 euros with a FMC offering. Vodafone similarly, and then if we consider also Digi, which is probably still the fastest growing operator in Europe, Digi Spain, with its very aggressive prices, then the conclusion is very clear. So we have a complex competitive situation. Having said that, MasMobil, if you look at the 6% price, if the 6% revenue increase in telco revenues last year, we have done it based on different elements. A client growth on one hand, so we are continuing to grow in around 650,000 lines last year between mobile and broadband. And on the other hand, also ARPU increase, basically because of management of our client base, cross and upselling. So we have been able to increase our revenues also through ARPU increase, especially in FMC, okay? So we will continue looking for value. We are not planning to enter this ultra-low-cost segment. So MasMobil, first FMC price is at 39 euros or 38.90 euros. I think that's the right thing to do and a responsible way to manage our company and our client portfolio.
Okay, and thanks. That was very useful. And on price increase into the year, have you seen some competitors trying to increase prices on the back book while remaining aggressive on front book, or at the moment no one has really moved? And what do you guys want to do, same as what you did last year? Do some selective price increase, or you can't give more info at this stage?
No, I can be very transparent on that. I mean, we are trying to have price predictability for our clients. It's one of our principles, but we have already done some adjustments this year. We have already implemented them. They are also already effective. Most of them have been effective in the bill of February and some in the bill of March, but this is fully implemented from our side. I understand that also our traditional competitors have moved at least selectively. What they're doing is usually to increase prices, especially in their premium segments where there's less competitions, and they don't increase in their low-cost and ultra-low-cost segments. MasMobil, basically we are doing it along the line, and that explains also why we continue to grow in revenues also in 2024.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mathieu. Let me remind you to press star 5 if you want to ask a question to Manny. Okay, our next question is coming from Karan Dorca. Karan, the line should be open now. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Great. I just wanted to dig into Q4 performance a little bit more. So on a full year basis, on a EBITDA pre-IFRS was $1.032 billion compared to prior year of $1.01 billion, so it's 3% growth. If I back out the numbers for Q4, it looks like Q4 EBITDA was 254 compared to the prior year of 310, which is an 18% decline. Can you just explain what has caused that? Sorry, I think I might have missed some earlier comments around it.
Yes, I'm happy to repeat what I mentioned before. No, if you look at our EBITDA growth in adjusted EBITDA, meaning basically post-IFRS, there are some accounting impacts, IFRS 15, because of our strong growth throughout the last few years. And then we phased out the business, which was especially strong in Q4 2022, where we basically optimize our fiber network costs by selling off some greenfield networks, greenfield fiber homes, to achieve double effect. No, on one hand, a reduction of the monthly fees that we pay for those clients that we had usually on third-party networks, and second, also to get a margin on the deployment. This business, since Spain is maturing in terms of fiber deployment, and we have in MásMóvil over 29 million homes in coverage, in fiber coverage, this business is reducing itself, so we are naturally phasing out, and that explains a major difference in Q4 2023 versus Q4 2022. Having said that, if you look at the operational business, so without accounting effects and this business phase out, we see an underlying 12% EBITDA growth.
Okay, that's helpful, thank you. And then just in terms of slide three, where you comment on there's a remaining 1.3 billion of debt to be distributed in the institutional market, what do you expect in terms of timing for that?
Well, we just after closing, we will start the syndication of the debt, and closing depends on whether or not we are able to close before the end of the month. I'm optimistic about that, but we have also the Easter week, so we will see. Basically, let's say syndications to start shortly after Easter.
Right. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you, Karen.
Our next question is coming from Sabi Chatirji. Sabi, your line is open now.
Hi, guys. Thank you. My question was also on the EBITDA, which I guess you guys answered in the last question. But is it possible to provide a few numbers just to understand what's the movement between the Q4 22 and Q4 23?
Yes, maybe. I'm sorry. For sure, we don't pronounce well your name. Maybe could we do the exchange of the numbers offline? But basically, the difference of around 100 million high level between so the bridge 2022-2023 in ABTA, adjusted ABTA post RFS is explained around by 50% of accounting impact, meaning a bit of headwind through IRFS 15, and the other 50% is the phasing out of the business that we explained. And I would suggest that Javier and Luis provided the exact data offline, no, after the meeting. Is it okay for you?
Got it. Yeah, that's fine. Super. That's fine. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Our next question is coming from Loic Cateno. Loic, your question, sorry, your line should be open.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. Just a quick follow-up on the remaining 1.3 billion euros, which needs to be funded. Do you have a view already whether or not, whether it will be only loans or it will include also bonds?
Yes.
David.
We are, you know, open to some, what is the market demand, and we are expected to have some flexibility to that point. So we are not closing the possibility of having any bonds, for example, in the case.
Okay, thank you.
Our banks, so Bank of America and BNP Paribas, are prepared to receive your questions and be in contact with you. Mm-hmm.
Excellent, thank you.
Okay, let me remind you again that you need to press star 5 for putting the question. And the next question is coming from the line of Joe Hose. Joe, your line is open now.
Hey, morning, guys, and thank you for the presentation. In fact, my question was asked by the previous question, but maybe I can just expand on that. Of the remaining debt that you already have funded via banks, are you looking to bring that to syndication at any time over the sort of coming year? Or is it just the 1.3 that you're going to be raising following closing?
So thank you. Not just 1.3, that's the remaining part that we will syndicate.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Okay, so apparently we are having no more questions on the line, so I'll just one sec. One question has popped up from Oleski Soroka. Your line is open now.
Yeah, thank you. Well, most of my questions haven't even been answered, but can you, maybe I missed it on the poll because I didn't get the slides until now, but what are your parameters or leverage targets that you have for the short to medium term, now that the merger has been cleared?
Yes, very clear. No, we agreed with our partner, future partner, Orange, a very strict financial policy. So we have a very clear deleveraging path. We have limited dividends that we will distribute over the next few years. So our target, and quick target, is 3.5 times leverage, or below 3.5, to be very exact.
Right. Okay. So, sorry, is it in the slides? I'm sorry if I missed it. So it's a formal target.
But this is not included in the presentation right now because it's still, let's say, MassMobile standalone result presentation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As mentioned, we will syndicate and address the market after closing, where mm-hmm. you get information in very much detail.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. But again, you know, the target is to deliver to 3.5.
Below 3.5. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think now, unless there is any final question popping into the screen, which is not coming, I'll leave the micro to Meini for closing.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your interest, not only today, but throughout the years. This was a very interesting journey until now, standalone MassMobile, and it will be even more interesting in a joint story together with Orange. We will form the largest operators in terms of clients in the Spanish market, or in terms of the government of Spain, we will be the first operator in the country. So it will be a very exciting project. We are prepared, we are motivated, and we will work hard to have a great performance again. Thank you very much, and have a nice day.